There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. You're tuned into the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio, and it's a Parashare Supernatural News Day here on the program. And I've got a special guest joining me here at the beginning of the program. We just had a chance to reconnect, reunited, and it felt so good at Waverly Hills Sanitarium. That's right. Nick Groff and I were there, but that's not who I was excited about reconnecting with. Ladies and gentlemen, from TV's The Holzer Files, the one, the only, hashtag poor Shane Pittman is here with us. Hey, Shane.
Hey, buddy. How's it going? Thank you for having me on.
You got it. We've got a big announcement we're going to make in a few moments, but I wanted to talk a little bit about Waverly Hills. We just had a chance to go out and visit the haunted Waverly Hills. And for the first time, I felt like I was the one being hunted. There was a lot of activity. Now, this was your first trip to Waverly Hills, correct?
Oh, yeah. It was my first trip, and it was phenomenal. I mean, there were so many great experiences.
This was a bucket list location for you, right? You'd never been to Waverly Hills before?
Right, of course. And, you know, just like a lot of people, I mean, it's been on a lot of people's bucket lists. And this was something that was really special for me.
All right. So Waverly Hills, hype or is it truly haunted? What do you think after having had a chance to visit there?
Oh, truly haunted. I mean, I saw my first, like, very clear apparition there. It was so amazing. We thought it was
Let's clarify, because we did capture some awesome spiritual ghosts and things on camera during Holzer Files, but that was stuff that we didn't know until we reviewed the evidence. This was, you saw this with your own eyes.
With my own eyes and with my entire group that was with me at the time, which was amazing. It looked like just one of us walking down, and whenever we further investigated, we realized that this was a spirit that was there, because we had some people go and try to track this figure down, and they saw the figure go into another room and disappear. I mean, it was the most phenomenal, amazing things that I've ever seen before, and it happened right at Waverly. It was so awesome.
Now, there's always been a lot of hype about Waverly. I've been there. I've never been let down by the activity. You know, I've seen shadow people. I've heard voices. We've heard footsteps walking around us, things close by that could not be seen with the naked eye. We've seen shadow people dodging between rooms. So there's been a lot that we've encountered over the years. And it's something you just can't dismiss summarily, right? I mean, you hear these kind of accounts, part of you as a skeptic has to say, come on, there's no way this place is that active. But once you get in there, once you're steeped in that legend and see it for yourself, it really kind of boggles the mind to realize just how much energy is there. And we had quite a few skeptics who were at the conference that were there because their spouse wanted to be there, and they left having encounters.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say that there were a couple of skeptics in my group when we were investigating on the second floor, and they saw the same thing I did, and they were left scratching their head, like, what did I just witness? I know that I cannot just believe what I just saw. This person just disappeared into the next room, no trace of anybody in that room. And they said, Shane, you know, I'm a skeptical person. I came along because we had some friends coming along, and I honestly cannot explain what just happened. And whenever you have experiences like that, you mm-hmm. know, this is why, this is one of the reasons why we do what we do, right? Because it further validates that there is more out there than just our physical existence that we have now. There's so much more out there.
Now, talk about this. Now, you saw this spirit at what point? Was it at the end of the night as you were wrapping up the investigation, or was it early on?
It was near the end of the night. It was the last group that we had going through the second floor. And we were all huddled up together, and we saw a man, you know, just a figure of a man walking, kind of trailing behind, kind of just with, it looked like his hands were in his pockets. It was just trailing behind. And I looked over to the group and I said, hey, is this guy a part of our group or is he with another one? Because he was, you know, a little further down the hall. As soon as I said that, he was walking toward us. As soon as I said that, you didn't see him turn around. It was almost like the only way I could describe it is that it morphed and he turned in the opposite direction, but you only see the back of his head at that point, walking in the opposite direction down the hall. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I said, excuse me, sir. He didn't turn around. And then he turned to the right and walked into another room. And we had some other guys go chasing down behind him and followed him to the atrium, which was used for like the chapel area and the visitation area on that floor. Followed him to that room. He walked into that room and disappeared. He was nowhere to be found after that.
All right. So how do you rectify that in your brain, especially knowing that you do have a skeptical nature when it comes to this, to actually see something like that happen?
It's so hard to describe, man. It really is, because on one hand, you're questioning. You're like, okay, was this a real person that just was ignoring what I was saying, or what? And then on the other side, you're like, this is too good to be true, because you know so many people that are in this field already are looking for experiences like that. So to actually see this with your own eyes, which I've seen a lot of things in my career, but seeing it's like, you know, like seeing you walking down the hall. It was that clear. Like you could not see through this apparition. It just looked like a solid figure there. To see that, it's on one hand, because you know how I am, I'm skittish by nature, but on one hand, I'm like, oh crap, you know, like, you know, it kind of freaked me out a little bit. And then at the same time, I'm like, wow, this is the holy grail. This is one of the reasons why I do this. This is so awesome. And to feed off of the energy of the entire group that was witnessing this along with me was such an awesome experience. I mean, it was something I'll never forget.
Did anybody there think this was a setup? Because I know that we had a few experiences where people, we were like standing in these halls and doing EVP work on the third floor. You were on the second floor. And all of a sudden we saw this figure kind of step out in the hallway and we can all see it. And I'm like, are you part of our group? And it wouldn't respond. And I'm like, Lee Kirkland, who was there running the event with Nick and everybody was partnered up with me for this ghost hunt. I'm like, Lee, are you seeing this? And he goes, yeah. And we were getting crazy, screaming, rage-filled EVP, just freaky as hell. And I'm like, are you seeing this? And he goes, yeah. And he whispers to me, should I hit it with a flashlight? And I'm like, yeah. Boom, he hits the flashlight. There's nothing down there. He turns off the flashlight and you could see the figure still standing in the hall. He turns the flashlight on, nothing there. Turns it off, it's there. It's like that movie Lights Out.
Right. Let me tell you something, Dave. This is so cool to me. Okay, so you guys were capturing EVP of screaming and all of that, right? Well, right before we saw the apparition that I've been talking about, we heard a blood-curdling scream right before I saw this figure. So we audibly heard this. We heard it, you know, disembodied voice. You guys on the next floor were capturing that through EVP. So it's validating things from completely different groups. it was almost like it was all happening simultaneously. It's so cool. So, yeah, we had one lady in particular. She was like, "Shane, this has to be, it has to be a real person. There's no way that it's that clear. I've never seen anything like this." And I
Right.
said, "Well, look, we're investigating. We're trying to figure this out. We're scouring the whole floor just to make sure nobody else is down there." Nobody was there. And on top of that, I pointed out to the group, it's like, look, even if it was somebody, we would hear footsteps, like either running away or walking away. This figure that we saw, there were no footsteps, no footstep sounds at all. It was almost as if like it was just stealthily moving through the hall. It was the craziest thing. And again, man, I can't stress enough how many times whenever you're experiencing things like this, whenever you're having multiple people experience it along with you, that is something that is invaluable because you have multiple people experiencing something that you can't explain. You know that there's not a physical person there that could be doing this. It's crazy. And yeah, on one hand, you're thinking, man, this has to be a setup. This is too good to be true. But I can assure you it wasn't the case. There was nobody there. We made sure of it. It was just bizarre.
Yeah, we were capturing some Class A EVP, some mad EVP, that was playing with us. And then Lee had one of those Boo Buddies, the little teddy bear that kind of, it's like an EMF detector. And if it touches, so like if there's a drastic temperature change, like drastic, it'll suddenly say things like, "Are you making it cold in here?" Right? And it's making all these other comments. And I feel bad. I should have loaded some of these EVP to play because we were just having so much weird activity around this bear. And, it's like, "Hey, do you want to play a game?" And at one time I'm like, "Let's play a game. I'm going to say the alphabet. I'm going to say a set of letters. You say what's next." So I did like ABC, no answer. JHI, no answer. NOP. And then there's a pause and you hear something go S. Right? So it wasn't exactly in the right order, but it said a letter, and all of us were like, "What the flip?" And at one point, Val, who was one of the great leads that was taking teams from floor to floor, was standing by me, and I'm like, "Why don't you try talking to the spirits?" And she's like, "Oh, did you miss me?" No, because she's one of the volunteers there. And then I go, "Do you know her name?" And I didn't know it was Val at that time. And I play back the EVP, and very clearly you hear it go, "Val." And she goes, "Oh." And I go, "What?" She goes, "It said my name." I go, "What's your name?" She goes, "Val." And I'm like, "Holy Schmitz." Right. So just to have that kind of, and it was group after group after group, we were getting this great EVP. And at one point, I'm like, the bear's going nuts. All these weird comments are coming out of it. So I go and I put my Panasonic DR60 recorder next to it, and I walk away and I stand back with the group. We're like maybe 10 yards, 15 yards away from it. And you hear me making a comment. And just as I go to set it down, you hear the teddy bear say, "Do you want to play a game?" And I'm like, "Sure, let's play a game." And I set it down and I walk back and we're talking, and I come back and get the recorder and I turn it on, and you hear me set it down and you hear the bear say, "Do you want to play a game?" And I said, "Sure, let's play a game." And then there is this blood-curdling scream, like nothing I've ever heard, this sustained scream. And then you hear that in the little kid teddy bear voice, it says, "Get out." But it's this kid voice that screams it at the end of this screaming noise. It was so cool, so freaky to be a part of this. And I see, honestly, I feel like they're not as pissed off as they're coming off. I think the ghosts there come out to perform, in all honesty. Yeah.
They're trying, they're letting you know, hey, we're here, and that's
Yeah.
it. I didn't feel anything negative there at all.
No.
It was just I felt there were a lot of spirits that just wanted to make themselves known, say, hey, we're here, we see you, and just showing themselves, which I think is really, really cool. Anybody that has a chance to go to Waverly, do it. I mean, it will not disappoint.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what they come up with next there, because they're just kind of reallowing ghost hunts and things in there. And they did reach out to us and said, you know, would you be interested in, you know, coming back? And I know Lee's interested in doing it, and I'm all for it. I think it could be a really cool opportunity to go back there. So, you know, keep watching darknessevents.com. We may be back and having some fun with everybody. So I hope people will check it out for themselves and go there. But Waverly Hills really still lives up. And it's been, I figured it out, it's been 10 years since I was there. That, first of all, is weird to me. 10 years,
man,
since I was at Waverly Hills. And that to me was strange. And I filmed the episode of Paranormal Challenge there. If you haven't seen it, it was a Travel Channel show. You could probably find it online or on YouTube. And I thought, wow, this is just, you know, an amazing place. And what I love so much about filming there was while we were filming, the the cameraman had to follow around the different teams that were in there investigating, right? And all of a sudden, you know, one of the teams is walking down the hall and we're in the nerve center watching it on the screens, and you start hearing this like boom, boom, and then a scream. And the camera guy catches the sound guy's face and catches them, and everybody just stops. And all of a sudden, over the IFB, the little walkies between us and the crew out there, the camera guys, they're like, can we come back now? We're like, no, you got to stay. He's like, no, we really want to come back now. This is creepy. It sounds like it's in the hall with us. So that was a great little moment that everybody really enjoyed. And I just love the place. I would go back to Waverly in a heartbeat now that, you know, kind of ownership has changed hands. The city is running things. I would certainly be more willing to go back. I know I said for a while that I wasn't real sure that I wanted to do this, but we both, Shane and I, thank Nick Roth and his wife Tessa and Lee Kirkland and his wife Jennifer and Spooky People for, or Creepy People for, that's the name of their company, Creepy People, for bringing us in. And we thank all the creepy people that were there in attendance as well. It was really cool.
They did a great job.
Maybe what we can do is maybe I'll have a little live video show in a week or so with you, me, Nick, Tessa, and we can talk about our experiences there, and I'll bring my EVP and we can chat. And maybe if you were there, folks, and caught any weird images, caught anything and you want to send it to me, dave@darknessradio.com. That's dave@darknessradio.com. I will include it in that talk and people will get a chance to see it for themselves. So I'm just throwing that out there. I thought that might be kind of a cool.
Yeah, that'd be very cool.
A cool way to do it. Now we have some pretty big news between the two of us. Are you excited about this?
I am so excited. I cannot wait.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've asked for it. You got it. It is our first mini Holzer Files event. That's right. Our first mini Holzer Files event. It is going to be Shane and myself. I told you it was mini. We're going to I call it the Hell Frozen Over event at the Palmer House Hotel in Minnesota. Why do I call it the Hell Frozen Over? Because Shane told me it would be a cold day in hell before he would find himself in Minnesota during the winter, but he's coming January 7th through the 9th. The Hell Frozen Over tour is here. We're going to be there. Listen, we posted about this on Monday and are sold out of our full event tickets. There were only 40 full event tickets, and that included the ghost hunt, but we do have general admission tickets. And with general admission, it gets you into everything else. Except for the gallery session. That's something. It's only $20 extra for the gallery session. And you can sign up for that if you'd like with our friend Jamie Hauk, who's going to be on hand doing gallery. But Friday, we're doing from 5:30 to 7 is kind of the event check-in at the Palmer House Hotel for all participants. 7 to 9 p.m. is a meet and greet and mingle at the Palmer House Bar. That's for all the participants. So you can come in and meet Shane, myself, and our special guests, medium Jamie Hauk and paranormal engineer Bill Chappell. Bill has been on numerous episodes of Ghost Adventures. He has helped create some of the most innovative paranormal equipment in the field. And this is your first chance getting to meet Bill Chappell, isn't it, Shane?
Yeah, it's my first time, and I believe that he's going to be bringing some of his stuff that he's been working on, too, mm-hmm. which would be really cool.
Yeah, so it's going to be exciting. Then that night we're doing the ghost hunt from 9:30 till or 10 o'clock till 2 in the morning. So for general admission, you get to come for the meet and greet from 7 to 9, mix, mingle, greet, pictures, you know, to have a chance to buy our stuff. And then Saturday we open up at noon to 2 as a gallery session with the very talented medium Jamie Hauk. That's only $20 more. At 3 to 4 is Paranormal Tech Talk with Bill Chappell. He'll go over some of the equipment that he's used, what the theories behind it is, why he created it. 4:30 to 5:30, you get ghost hunting tips and tales with Dave and Shane. We'll talk about some of our favorite ghost hunts, some of the tips that we use in trying to communicate with the spirits and have the kind of results we got on Holzer Files. Then there's a short dinner break. And then from 8 to 9, it is a paranormal panel with me, Shane, Bill, and medium Jamie Hauk. And we'll be there to engage you, answer any of your questions, have some fun, tell some more stories behind the scenes on Holzer Files and Ghost Adventures and other shows that we've worked on. And then it goes down to 10 to 2 that night is for the full admission people for the ghost hunt. So for, I think it's, let me check on here. I think it's only $99 to do the general admission ticket and give you access to all the talks and everything. So it's a great price. Yeah, $99 general admission ticket includes all the paranormal talks and meet and greets. So you get all of that. If you're interested, you can go to darknessevents.com. That's darknessevents.com. I've put up, for those of you watching the video over on YouTube, I've got the event logo up and information up. And just go to darknessevents.com, scroll down, and you check out that page, see all the cool places, because Shane and I in December are going to be out at the Las Vegas Paracon. Have you been to Las Vegas before?
I have.
Cool. I have. We're going to be at the MGM. Time. Yeah, we're going to be at the MGM for a big, huge, massive paranormal conference. Cindy will be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. So the three of us from Holzer Files, then Shane and I, of course, in February. There's a few more events we're going to be going to together and some other events I'll be at individually. So you can go check it all out at darknessevents.com and keep up with that. Shane, are you looking forward to visiting Minnesota in winter?
You may not recognize me because I'll have probably 100 jackets on and then my face covered. So
we're going to be inside. We're going to be investigating inside the Palmer House.
It does not matter, Dave, because if anybody opens the door to the hotel, I will be too cold.
I will tell you this. This is the honest to God truth. The first paranormal event we did at the Palmer like 12 years ago, I did an event there. Chris Fleming, myself, Patrick Burns, I think Bill Chappell, and we did this little event at the Palmer House. And that weekend we had a cold snap and the bank across the street showed with wind chill, it was negative 65.
You better watch your mouth. You better watch your mouth. Are you trying to deter me from not going?
No, but it was crazy cold, but it hasn't been like that again. So we've done other events there. It's been cool. Not freezing like that, but the Hell Frozen Over Holzer Files event at the Palmer House takes place January 7th through the 9th. And again, we do have general admission seats left open for just $99. And that gets you into the meet and greets and all of the lectures and presentations and a chance to hang out with us. Plus
yeah,
you can
clarify.
Yeah.
Sorry. To clarify, that's for 2 days, right? That general admission is for all the right. talks for 2 days.
Right. Friday night's meet and greet and hang out at the Palmer House bar from 7 to 9. It'll probably be more like 7 to 9:30. And then Saturday with all of our talks that we're going to be doing in presentations and Q&As.
Yes.
So they'll be a part of that.
That's a great deal.
Yeah.
Great deal.
It's going to be a good value. So we're going to be doing that. I hope people will come out and check it out. Darknessevents.com. Shane, truly, it was such a pleasure to see you again this week and get a chance to hang out, man. It's been too long. Everybody keeps asking what program. I know that you and Cindy are out filming. Are you filming a show with Shane? No, we are not. That's all I can say about it. But Shane did film a new TV series, and that's all he can say about it. We can't tell you what networks. Shane or Cindy and I can mention that we're going to be staying at Travel Channel and Discovery Plus. That's all we can mention. So the rest will come out as more information is released later on. But that's it. So Shane will be back. Cindy and I will be back, and with a little bit of luck, sometime in the future, our paths will cross, and hopefully we'll all get to work together again on TV. But until then, you can meet us live at events, and this is just the first event that Shane and I are going to do together. And we're hoping to sometime during 2022 mix up and hit a couple other locations. Maybe we'll even go down south, Tim or Shane, where it'll be warm for you.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'll be down for that for sure.
Yeah, I thought you
bring you down so you'll die of the humidity. I gotta pay you back, man. I gotta pay you back if it's gonna be freezing cold.
Listen, I went to Waverly Hills my first time in August. I know humidity. Man. Yeah, Louisville, Kentucky in August is like you are literally walking through a bowl of split pea soup. It is thick and moist and gross. Oh, gross.
That's horrible.
I was really happy that we got to do the event in the winter here in November and not have to deal with the thick heat and oppressive moisture. It was so gross.
It wasn't too bad. I mean, it wasn't too cold. I mean, I survived. So it was fun.
That's true. All right. So check that out. Shane, you're still doing stuff with the Searchers and you're doing some live events. How can people keep up with what you're doing on the side?
You can go to officialshanepittman.com. Post updates there and follow me on all social media. You can find me, just type in Shane Pittman. You'll find me there.
Excellent. Sounds great. Thank you, Shane. We'll look forward to talking to you again here in the future.
Thanks, buddy. Love you. We'll talk to you later.
Take care. All right, folks. Time now for some Parashare and Supernatural news. And we've got a bunch of stories to share with you this week as we launch into a brand new week of very strange tales from all around the world. Let's start off with this gem, because I know how you people are fans of the Black Eyed Kids. Well, we've got a story for you coming out of Kenick Chase. A man claims that he saw dead children at the age of 10 and has met the Black Eyed Child. A man has opened up about how he would see dead children when he was a child himself and claims that he has met the infamous Black Eyed Child. Like many kids in the 1980s, Lee Brickley used to watch Ghostbusters, but he always saw sci-fi films a little differently from other children. Some kids will get scared and hide behind the sofa. Others will keep their bedroom light on all nights for weeks, Lee said in a column for the Mirror. Me, I saw a career path. Lee's obsession with the supernatural started when he was 10 years old, following a series of spooky experiences in his Kenick Chase home. He dubs the Staffordshire coal mining town sitting atop a large coal field the UK's most haunted town. He explained, according to many locals, the woodland is home to spirits, werewolves, black-eyed children, a pig man, and allegedly even Bigfoot. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. In the quiet evening hours, sitting in the living room, Lee described how he would see slow-moving shadows on the wall behind the sofa. He claimed his father would also see abnormal things, but tried to distract the young boy from seeing them. However, he was unable to protect young Lee when he walked into the kitchen one night to find a cup swinging violently without reason from side to side. Lee, now 33, later discovered that his great uncle had died in the same house, and his father now believes the paranormal activity that they both witnessed is the doing of their deceased relative. And even as an adult, he continued to witness mysterious and unexplainable phenomenon. In April of 2018, he claims to have seen the infamous black-eyed child in our area near Kenick Chase called Birch's Valley. He said, she appeared about 100 meters in front of me, stared right at me for 30 seconds, and then simply vanished without a trace. And as for his latest claim, well, according to the Daily Star, Lee insists he's seen proof of the presence of the British Bigfoot after he found a 41-centimeter long set of claw marks. This is crazy. And a mutilated deer in the forest. Now, I'm not familiar with that area. I don't know if they have lions and tigers and bears, oh my, that are in that area. But he sees this huge print mark and a mutilated deer. He said, an old ghost hunter once told me that the reality is barely understood and possibility is limitless. Since these unique experiences, Lee has published 4 books on the subject of paranormal activity. And he said his latest, Ghosts of Kenick Chase, is selling well. His investigations as a ghost hunter have introduced him to many people who claim to have seen something scary in the forest. But the published author didn't always have support when it came to his career ambitions. Apparently, one of Lee's school career advisors once laughed when he told her about his dreams of becoming a professional Ghostbuster. She said it wasn't a real job, and I could earn more money working in a factory, he said. People tend to give me a very funny look if I'm asked to explain what I do for a living at dinner parties. Well, it seems as if Lee has certainly proven his teacher wrong. Boy, who hasn't dealt with this nonsense, right? I mean, I wish my teachers from grade school were still alive telling me, oh, yeah, maybe a factory work or being a cop would be best for you, Dave. Maybe that's where you really need to be in the world. It shouldn't necessarily be, you know, anything political like a president or a doctor, or perhaps not a lawyer. I just didn't have it. Although the one job that I was told repeatedly that I was suited for was a preacher. And I know that my pastor, I went to Trinity Lutheran Grade School in Roselle, Illinois. My pastor was quite upset when I decided I didn't want to be a pastor and kind of sadly washed his hands of me. That was one of the reasons I fell away from religion. I'm not a church goer per se because of that. But I'm still very religious and spiritual and believe that I communicate with God and Jesus, and that's my religion and belief system, Christianity. But I just didn't feel like I would be a preacher. But who knows, you know, life makes funny, funny turns. And who knows what I might find I'm more suited for in the future. Now, going back to this Bigfoot claim, Lee Buckley, as we were just discussing, claims to have found a 41-centimeter from toe-to-heel footprint, which he thinks belongs to this mythical-like creature. And I guess I knew that there's been claims of strange things, and I didn't know Bigfoot was one of them in that area. This article goes on to say an investigator claims to have found evidence of the legendary Bigfoot again in Cannock Chase. Lee Brickley says he discovered tracks and claw marks after a decade searching for the mythical half-man, half-beast in the Staffordshire beauty spot. Sightings of the Yeti-like creature in Cannock Chase stretch back as far as the 1800s, and Lee has heard of half a dozen spottings and has camped in the woods in his quest to catch Bigfoot on film. Now, Lee, 33, told the sister paper of the Daily Star, loads of people now message me regularly asking for updates. I got an anonymous email from a man saying he'd been seeing or had been flying a remote control over Glentshaw Common at Cannock Chase, who said he'd seen something unusual. With the description of the location, I went out there straight away, and that's where I found the footprint. I was astounded. I'd never seen a footprint that large in my life, and it was clearly not made using a mold or a cast. That is probably the moment I realized the Cannock Chase Bigfoot was more than just a myth. Lee reckons claw marks on a tree near a mutilated deer could be the work of the grizzly monster. Stay abreast with the very latest from the region with the Black Country email updates. And again, you can click on the news story. If you go to darknessradio.com, click on the news tab, you'll see all these stories. So if you want to keep up with what's going on in that area, you can read this article, click on that and keep up to date. Lee says it looked as though something had bitten and then ripped out the deer's throat before eating from the torso. You see a lot of dead deer on Cannock Chase. Often they've been hit by cars, but it was unusual to see one in that kind of condition. Lee claims he caught a glimpse of Bigfoot once while researching for his book. He told the Daily Star, I can't say for sure what it was, as it was around 7 p.m. and getting dark, and the figure was covered in shadow. It definitely moved more like an animal than a man, and it was easily about 7 feet tall. I tried to run after it, but it was just too quick, and it disappeared into a dense section of trees. Lee has published multiple books on supernatural occurrences in Cannock Chase, including his most recent book on Bigfoot. Lee said that they have actually been more sightings since as far back as the 1800s of this man-monkey creature in Staffordshire. Reports of these sightings seem to have drastically increased, though, in the number of frequency since the beginning of 2019. I think people like to keep an open mind about these things, especially after they have read the reports and seen the evidence for themselves. Lee has published books on supernatural occurrences in Cannock Chase. Now, I wonder if the reason that people are starting to see more of this type of activity has to do with the fact that, again, with COVID shutting down and, you know, food sources maybe not being out there as readily available as they once were, are these creatures making their way inland, you know, towards people more because they're seeking food and food sources? I'm not sure. Very strange stuff. Cool stories, bizarre things. Speaking of which, and Bigfoot being the hot topic here, Jane Goodall is an English primatologist and anthropologist who is considered the world's foremost expert on apes. She is best known for her 60-year study of the social and family interactions of wild chimpanzees. Today, though, she is 87 years old and continues her mission through the Jane Goodall Institute, which has offices in England and Washington, D.C. Well, on September 21st, 2021, she launched a new project, Trees for Jane, to help counteract climate change. Her goal is to have a trillion trees planted by 2030. In the September 23rd, 2021 issue of GQ magazine, Jane Goodall stated clearly that she believes in the existence of Bigfoot. Here's an excerpt from that interview, which was conducted by Gabriella Paella. Paella asks, "I have a question, if you'll indulge me, and I'm sure you know where this is going. You've said you're not ruling out that Bigfoot exists." Jane Goodall responds, "For various reasons, and I'll tell you one, my most striking reason. I was in Ecuador. We'd flown for 2 solid hours over unbroken forest in a small plane, and we visited 4 tiny little communities, 30 to 50 people, no roads, and they communicate with each other by means of, like the old days, the town crier. But these are hunters, actually, and they carry the news from one village to another and letters and things like that. So I had an interpreter, and I said to him, 'When you next meet one of these hunters, could you ask if they have ever seen a monkey without a tail?' 3 of the hunters came back and said, 'Oh, yes, we've seen monkeys without tails. They walk upright and stand at least 6 feet tall.'" Paella says, "Oh, wow." Jane Goodall responds, "Now, this was an interpreter from the village. He knew nothing about Bigfoot, nothing at all. Every single country has its version. Yeti, Yowie in Australia, Wild Man in China. So I don't know if it's perhaps a myth that stems from maybe the last of the Neanderthals, but then is the last of the Neanderthals still living in some of these remote forests? I don't know, but I'm not going to say it doesn't exist. And I'm not going to say to people who believe in it that they are stupid." So that's pretty interesting. Now, over 19 years ago, Goodall publicly declared her belief in Bigfoot during an interview on National Public Radio. And this is what she had to say. "Well, no, you'll be amazed when I tell you that I'm sure that they exist. Yeah, I've talked to so many Native Americans who all describe the same sounds. 2 of them have seen them. I probably got about 30 books that come from different parts of the world, from China, from all over the place. And there was a little tiny snippet in the newspaper just last week, which says that British scientists have found what they believe to be a Yeti hair, and that the scientists in the Natural History Museum in London couldn't identify it as any known animal." So pretty interesting when Jane Goodall is weighing in, a primatologist, and believes that there is something more to this story, that there is something out there. And with that said, we also have another very bizarre story. If you haven't found a reason to not go to the out of doors before, here's one for you. Intense storms in Egypt have unleashed a massive swarm of scorpions from their nests that stung over 450 people and killed 3 of them. This is like biblical plagues. Extreme weather in Egypt brought out a swarm of scorpions from their nests, resulting in hundreds of people in the southern city of Aswan being stung. 3 people died from their injuries, according to multiple reports. At least 450 people were injured by scorpion stings on Friday, an Egyptian health ministry official said, according to the BBC. 3 people died after succumbing to those injuries, Sky News reported. Heavy rain, hail, and dust storms near River Nile forced scorpions and snakes out of the ground, Sky News reported. The scorpions displaced by the weather then sought shelter in people's homes, The Independent reported. Egypt is home to the fat-tailed scorpion, one of the most dangerous scorpion species in the world. The Egyptian newspaper Al-Ahram reported, citing a health ministry official, that those who were injured have been hospitalized and are receiving treatment. Authorities have provided extra amounts of anti-venom medication to medical units in villages near Aswan, Al-Haram reported. Doctors were redirected from COVID-19 vaccination centers to help treat the scorpion stings. It was that prevalent, according to the BBC, citing a health official. People have been urged to stay at home and avoid places with lots of trees, according to the BBC. Yeah. It's the end of the world as we know it. That is absolutely freaky. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, UFOs buzzing U.S. warships. They may be aliens, according to a top spy chief. And a time traveler warns that aliens disguised as a meteor shower will invade next year. That and so much more when we return to the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. Welcome back to the program. This is Darkness Radio, and it is a supernatural news parashare. And again, if you'd like to see any of these news stories for yourself, any of the photographs that we reference, the stories, the links, you can just go to darknessradio.com, click on the news tab, and you will find all of the stories there. All right, our next story is upon us, and this is a doozy. This is coming directly from a, super spy. I don't know how this exactly works out, but a top spy chief is weighing in. And UFOs, buzzing warships, are being reported by U.S. pilots. This could be of alien origin. That's according to America's top spy chief. And she, what has she had said in a stunning admission? Avril Haines, the director of National Intelligence, who oversees all 16 U.S. spy agencies, including the FBI and CIA, was speaking at the Our Future in Space event at the Washington National Cathedral. Haines was quizzed about UFOs, which have become a serious national security debate in the U.S. after years of being consigned to the dustbin of conspiracy theories. The stunning UAP task force reported published by the Pentagon over the summer admitted there have been unexplained encounters between the U.S. military and these mysterious objects, such as the infamous Tic Tac UFO sighting. And while the report, which analyzed 144 sightings, did not explicitly spell out a possible alien connection, it did not rule it out either, as the mystery just continues to build. Haines appeared to crack the door open even further for a possible alien link at the event, where she spoke alongside NASA Chief Bill Nelson, leading expert Professor Avi Loeb, and the world's second richest man, Jeff Bezos. And she admitted, "There remains things about the strange encounters which the intelligence community simply does not understand," highlighting the need for much deeper investigations. The main issues that Congress and others have been concerned about is safety of flight concerns and counterintelligence issues, told the DNI from the forum. Always, there's also the question of, is there something else that we simply do not understand, which might come extraterrestrial? She said. Haines appeared to hesitate when mentioning the word extraterrestrially, but she has now become the most senior person in the intelligence community to hint at an alien link. Let that sink in, folks. She has now become the most senior person in the intelligence agency to hint at an alien link. Now, the DNI acknowledged there needs to be better reporting structures put in place so UFOs, now more commonly called UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena, in the intelligence community can be properly investigated. U.S. officials are believed to be in the process of setting up a permanent office to probe these phenomena. The stunning and unexplained encounters have gone beyond blurry photos to highly detailed incidents involving U.S. warships and warplanes being recorded on multiple military-grade instruments. Haines said, "We're pretty sure that we're not going to be characterize every single one of these UAP reports in the various categories that will be identified, because frankly, we weren't able to understand everything about these sightings. A large portion of what is based on fact that we don't have a consistent way of reporting this information. We need to integrate a lot of data that we get." She went on, "We need to get better at collecting information that's useful to us from different sensors that are available to the U.S. And we need to deepen our analysis in these areas. And that's something that doesn't surprise you in the way that we approach our intelligence work." She also predicted that a vast acceleration in mankind's relationship with space will occur over the next decade. And the DNI joked that she would get fired if she told the forum what is the coolest thing that the intelligence services are doing in space. Elsewhere at the two-hour-long event, the DNI warned that there could be colonial conflicts in space between the U.S., Russia, and China. She said the U.S. is committed to protecting access to and explore space for a variety of nations. She added, "We recognize how important this is for our collective human prosperity." Meanwhile, Blue Origin and Amazon boss Bezos laid out his vision for mankind's future in space. He shrugged off criticism of his own exploits in the orbit, which have been derided as joyrides after he sent Star Trek William Shatner into space. Bezos sketched out a vision where man becomes a true spacefaring species, warning, "If we do not heed or head for the stars, then the Earth will be totally strip-mined of its resources." He speculated about giant solar farms in space that could solve humanity's energy problems and man-made space colonies. However, on the alien issue, Bezos expressed doubt that Earth has been visited by extrasolar intelligences. U.S. lawmakers commissioned the Pentagon UFO report after a stunning string of leaked videos that showed military encounters with objects such as the infamous Tic Tac. It marked an incredible turnaround after the government dismissed UFO at the conclusion of Project Blue Book back in the 1960s. The report admits the encounters could be previously unknown aircraft from China, Russia, or even a non-government terror group. But it crucially did not rule out extraterrestrial or perhaps even extra-dimensional origins for these encounters. The debate, which has for decades considered a fringe and damaging topic, is now being openly spoke about by very senior figures, including former President Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. It comes as Pentagon whistleblower Lou Elizondo, who ran the U.S. previous UFO investigation unit, hinted that pilots may have suffered warped time and radiation burns during encounters with this phenomena. So there you have it. Interesting stuff. UFO warships are being buzzed by aliens. Well, at least the possibility of aliens. Now we go a little bit further down the rabbit hole with this next article. A time traveler warns that aliens disguised as meteor showers will invade next year. A time traveler from the future claims that our planet will be invaded by aliens next year, with their arrival disguised as a meteor shower. TikTok user Aesthetic Time Warper has gained over a billion views on the social media site, sharing videos of his terrifying prophecies for humanity over the last few months. His latest prediction warns of an alien invasion set to take place in 2022, as reported by The Mirror. The extraterrestrials will come unnoticed, touching down on Earth, either under the guise of a meteor shower, with their arrival making the start of an alien war. In the clip, the time traveler said, "There will be a very large meteor shower that lasts upwards of 2 weeks. It will be seen in the northern hemisphere, containing the Gnosic message. One of the meteors will seem different from all the others. That is because it's a ship hiding amongst them, preparing to land on Earth, starting preparations for the first Gnosic war." Many were quick to voice their opinion on this theory, with one user even calling out the TikToker, who is an account with over 3.9 million likes and 611,000 followers, writing, "First thing I would do as a time traveler, create a TikTok." You might, though, if you're coming to that time era and you realize this is your broadest perspective of reaching the most people that are going to have an interest, that would make sense. He said the aliens will be disguised among this meteor shower. A second user joked that it was going to happen right when they turn on that 5G, with another person adding, "Nothing he said has come true. Tell us something legit." This isn't the first time that the man behind the account, who is known as the real time traveler, claimed to be helping humanity. The wacky account has already made plenty of other predictions about Earth. In July, they asked us to note 5 dates and events towards the end of 2021 and 2022. The time traveler believes that 3 teens will open a portal to an alternate universe using a T-Rex dinosaur egg. That's coming up here in December. So that's something to look forward to. They also say that the mythical sunken city of Atlantis will be found in the Atlantic Ocean in 2022, housing human fish life. That's right, human/fish life. I don't know if they mean human and fish, but because there is a hyphen betwixt the two, I would say like Aquaman, that kind of life. The Barmy account also said that NASA would find a mirrored Earth in August and that 8 humans would receive superpowers from the extreme energy of the sun in October. If you have found that you are now a superpowered hero or villain, you can email me, dave@darknessradio.com. I'd love to hear your story and how you received those superpowers from the sun in October. Just dave@darknessradio.com. And if any NASA officials are out there listening, and there really are NASA officials that listen to the show, and you found a mirrored Earth in August and you want to remain anonymous, email me. Tell me how it was found. Let's talk about it. dave@darknessradio.com. That's all I'm asking, my friends. Just let me know what you found. Our next story is about alien implants and how aliens are destroying our life systematically. ET ruined my marriage. I was abducted by aliens who put an implant in my arm, which led to my divorce, according to a husband's claim. Steve Colburn from the United States said his outlook on life has changed after boarding a UFO hundreds of times. Speaking on Coast to Coast show, Mr. Colburn explained the incident, which began when he found a UFO hovering over an avocado tree. They are delicious. After walking over to the unknown object, he was pulled up into the ship by a green beam. It's from all that avocado. It taints the beam. That's true. You look it up. It's science. Mr. Colburn says he was then brought to a medical station in the ship where he was instructed to lie down on the table. He used a long instrument that was like a piece of stainless steel tubing that had a fiber optic inside that transmitted ultraviolet light and had a device on the end that would dispense the implants and put them into the subject, he explained. When the abduction was over, Steve said that nothing was ever the same. It does make it a lot more difficult to get along down here, he said. It seems almost irrelevant sometimes, the things that humans do. Despite claiming that his wife had similar episodes of alien abductions, he believes the implant led to his tragic divorce. My wife was not too pleased finding out about this and blamed me for it, he said. I think that was pretty unfair, but that's just how people react. It destroys relationships routinely. Steve went on to say that the abduction led him to losing his job after he was fired for using equipment to analyze the suspected implant in his arm. But reflecting on the abduction, he said, it has opened his eyes. It opened my eyes, and I feel like I'm part of the society and also their society and also a member of the galactic civilization, rather than just an obscure human being trapped on an obscure planet. It's hard to know sometimes which feelings are yours and which feelings were put there by the aliens. Aliens costing us our happiness, our peace, our love. Could it be true? Possibly. Or are we just always looking for a reason? That's also an aspect of it we have to look at, right? I want to mention coming up, Discovery Plus, Demon in the White House is a new shock doc that will air on Friday, November 26th on Discovery Plus. I'm a part of that as well as Jeff Belanger, Joshua P. Warren, and some other investigators. We talk about the potentiality of paranormal activity and could portals have been opened that would allow dark forces into the White House that could influence our entire world. It's an interesting topic, something fascinating, and we go deep into the history of the supernatural and the paranormal, so go check that out for yourself. Again, that is Demon in the White House, coming out November 26th on Discovery Plus, and I hope you'll tune in and check out that new shock doc. Make sure that you pass it around, tell people about it, help us promote that shock doc as soon as it airs. There is some big news in the entertainment world, folks, and I don't know if we're ready for it yet, but I'm going to share it anyway. Right? Ghostbusters Afterlife is about to come out into the movie theaters. I'm very excited about it. By the end of this week, I will finally get a chance to see Ghostbusters Afterlife. A welcome return to the world of those proton packers. It's going to usher in a new group of characters in a continuation story of the original movies. Don't expect it to be the last we hear about the franchise either. It looks like Sony has some big plans for this time-honored title. The latest giant freaking robot exclusive from a trusted and proven source has it that there is a Ghostbusters TV series in development right now. It appears the plan is to sell it to a major streaming service. We could be looking at a franchise ready to really head into growth mode. While there are precious few details about what this Ghostbusters series will entail, it looks like the plan, at least for now, is to try and sell it to the likes of Amazon or Netflix, one of the major streamers. Considering the popularity of the overall IP, landing a series on one of the major platforms makes complete and utter sense. And this is a situation in which Sony really loses by not having its own streaming service. They are only one of the only properties out there that are holdouts in the streaming world, not having a clear and logical landing place for its properties when it comes to streaming. It's not the end of the world considering the popularity of some of its products, though it has led to delays in some of its movies over the last couple pandemic-filled years. Part of their overall strategy is to just sell different products and productions to the highest bidder in the streaming wars, which I think works pretty well. The Ghostbusters series would fall into that category. I would guess, I think I read that the Stranger Things is about to air their final season next year. So it could be that they end that, and then the following year we see the launch of a Ghostbusters TV series. That would be my prediction, and probably pulling up on Netflix, unless Amazon really comes in swinging for it. It's hard to know at this point what a Ghostbusters series would mean when it comes to this next movie, Ghostbusters Afterlife. The film, set for release on November 19th, will act as a successor to the first two classic films, seemingly ignoring what went down with the all-female Ghostbusters reboot. This one will follow the story of McKenna Grace's Phoebe and Finn Wolfhard's Trevor, who moved to the Midwest only to realize the world of ghosts is still very active outside the bright lights of New York City. Connecting them to the original movie's world will be that they are the grandchildren of Egon Spengler, played in the first movies by the late Harold Ramis. While the story will be an original, we are going to get appearances by Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, and Sigourney Weaver. The planned Ghostbusters TV series could pick up after the movie in some fashion, or it could just become a standalone story of its own. Though the original characters are etched into the collective zeitgeist, there's no reason a series would need to adhere to the exact same storylines. The world is a big place, and Ghostbusters can come in all shapes and sizes. A series could explore a number of different avenues, or maybe even be a prequel of sorts. If this movie is a box office success, and there's a reason to expect that it's going to be, then the Ghostbusters series could capitalize in a number of different ways. Time will tell what happens with this planned series, but rest assured, we're going to get a lot more Ghostbusters in our life. I have no diggity, no doubt about that, folks. I'd love to see a TV series on Ghostbusters if it's done right. Well, I guess that goes without saying. Nobody wants to see it if it's done wrong. There's also some other big news from the world of entertainment. And my favorite stories, of course, zombies. Marvel Zombies animated series is happening. Alongside Hocus Pocus 2, which I know a lot of you are excited about, a sequel to the witchy classic from 1993, Disney Plus brought a ton more announcements, including Agatha, House of Harkness. That'll be the spinoff from the WandaVision series. I Am Groot, and now Marvel Zombies, in which the new generation of heroes battle against an ever-spreading zombie scourge. The new series was announced on Marvel Studios' 2021 Disney Plus Day Special, currently streaming exclusively on Disney Plus, which have, it's a pretty exciting deal. I thought the series was always interesting. The storyline, it'll be interesting to see how they parlayed into a full-running TV series. Disney announced Marvel Zombies as an animated series from Marvel Studios, adapted from the 5-issue limited series of the same name, published back in 2005 and 2006. However, the foundation for the upcoming series was previously introduced in the 5th episode of the anthology series, What If? The episode focuses on several MCU heroes trying to find a cure for the zombie apocalypse, which horrifically took some of their superhero colleagues. That episode concluded with Spider-Man, Black Panther, and the artificially preserved head of Ant-Man traveling to Wakanda with the Mind Stone to create the cure for the zombie plague. However, they're greeted by a not-so-friendly zombie, Thanos, upon their arrival, wearing a zombie infinity gauntlet. The comic book series, which launched in 2005, is a spinoff from a crossover story arc of the Ultimate Fantastic Four. Its story is set in an alternate universe where the superhero population has been infected with a virus that turns them into zombies, something akin to Avengers meeting Resident Evil. In the comics, Reed Richards meets his zombie counterpart from another universe, who tricks him into opening a portal to the zombie universe, causing mayhem and devastation. Marvel even hired Robert Kirkman, writer of The Walking Dead comic books and TV series, to write the narrative for this. The comic concluded in 2006, but there have been a number of sequels, including Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies, and one of the number of miniseries that was part of Marvel's 2015 mega event Secret Wars. It was an interesting series in which Ultron allied with the zombies to target Vision, Wonder Man, and Jim Hammond. The series also ties in with Black Panther comics, in which Shuri takes over the mantle of the Cat And T'Challa becomes Wakanda's king of the dead, capable of controlling the dead, or in this case, the undead. It's still unclear how and if Marvel Zombies will fit into the official MCU canon and its numerous phases and sagas, and whether it's a what-if spinoff or will it chart its own course. The new series will share its director, Brian Andrews, with the What If series. So it's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to see what they do with it. I thought the one-off episode was pretty interesting. As a matter of fact, probably one of the best of the What If series this season. I may be the only one. I know there was some dissension amongst people talking about that, but I thought it was a fascinating little blip. But again, you know my fascination with zombies. All right, we're coming into our last couple stories entertainment-wise here. Kristen Stewart is developing a gay ghost hunting reality TV show, a paranormal romp in a queer space. Kristen Stewart is gunning for gay ghosts. That's how this article states. The star of the Twilight movies is developing a gay ghost hunting reality television series, a project she's describing as a paranormal romp in a queer space. Stewart revealed her plans to join the celebrity ghost hunting trend in a recent interview with The New Yorker. Gay people love pretty things, the 31-year-old BAFTA award winner told the magazine last month in an interview published Tuesday. So we're aiming for a richness, she added. Stewart, who recently announced she was engaged to her longtime girlfriend, Dylan Meyer, said that she's also writing a television series with her soon-to-be wife. Meyer is a fellow actress and screenwriter. Her latest screenwriting project, the Amy Poehler-directed comedy drama Moxie, was released on Netflix in March. Stewart, whose performance as Princess Diana and Spencer has been generating early Oscar buzz, is not the only famous face to make a foray into the unknown. Pop star Demi Lovato, a Grammy-nominated singer and self-described activist and UFO experiencer, brings viewers on a road trip in search of definitive answers to some of the biggest questions about extraterrestrial life in their Peacock series, Unidentified with Demi Lovato. Fellow pop sensation Kesha has also recently announced a new TV series in which she plans to explore the unexplored. Conjuring Kesha is scheduled to premiere next year on Discovery Plus. Over the course of my life, I've always been drawn to the supernatural, the spiritual realm, the Die Young singer said in a statement. On this new show, I will bring along my friends to some of the most mysterious paranormal hotspots to explore with me. We will explore life's great mysteries and aim to catch something never before seen on camera. My hope is to show that supernatural isn't just the thing of myths and fables, she added. Fascinating stuff. With that said, we will jump to our next story. Demi Lovato says they'd absolutely date an alien. Demi was making their interest in aliens very well known recently. Now it seems as though their interest may be more than platonic. During an interview on Face to Face with Becky G, Lovato was asked whether they'd consider being romantically involved with an alien. If there was an ET that hit every box of criteria that would be like the most ideal partner, would you ever consider dating an ET? Asked Becky G. Yes, absolutely, Lovato responded with a laugh. I'm so tired of humans. I'm so tired of humans and their human bullshit. I'm so over it. Bring me an alien. Lovato then quickly corrected herself. Lovato then quickly corrected themself. Bring me an ET. They had seemingly monetarily forgotten that they'd said the term aliens is derogatory in the past. So good. We both made a mistake there. I'm glad we could both recover. I think that we have to stop calling them aliens because aliens is a derogatory term for anything. That's why I like to call them ETs, the singer said during an interview with Pedestrian TV last month. During the face-to-face with Becky G appearance, Lovato was asked whether she'd ever, and it said she'd, I'm reading the article as it stated, we'll change that to, during the face-to-face with Becky G appearance, Lovato was asked whether they'd ever had an alien encounter. I have made contact, Lovato said. It's not been in like the ET phone home type of sense, but I made contact by meditating and looking up and seeing things in the sky that weren't there when I started meditating. Aliens have been a popular topic for Demi Lovato ever since their new docuseries, Unidentified with Demi Lovato, started streaming on Peacock. The show sees the singer delve deep into their passion for all things extraterrestrial. Alongside their sister, Dallas, and friend Matthew, the trio go in search of definitive answers to some of the biggest questions about ETs. While there aren't any actual alien encounters during the series, Lovato assures that there is a lot of paranormal activity. Something cool happened in every city that we went to, which was really cool, Lovato said. Not necessarily just with UFOs, but there was even paranormal things that happened. For instance, in Vulture City, you'll have to see what goes on down there to believe it in the second episode. So there you go. Unidentified with Demi Lovato on the Peacock Network. You can check that out for yourself and see what all the hubbub is. Selma Hayek is now in the news as well, as we round out our entertainment aspect of the news segment here. And hopefully the news story will pop up and we'll get a chance to discuss this momentarily. There it is. According to the actress Selma Hayek, the medium counted about 20 ghosts in her house. Mexican-American actress Selma Hayek stunned by the confession that she lives in a haunted house. She talked about this on the Ellen DeGeneres Show. According to the star, she personally did not encounter paranormal phenomena at home, but the staff who worked for her and her daughter Valentine witnessed the presence, according to the Daily Mail. I didn't see them, but someone didn't seem to want to work anymore in our house. The piano plays by itself. You won't go to the third floor because the lights turn on and off. Doors and windows open and close by themselves, remarked Hayek. The artist said that she was skeptical about this, but promised that she would bring some medium in to deal with the otherworldly guests. Even if it's not true, at least they will be psychologically calm at the thought that it's over, Selma told herself then. However, it didn't get any easier after the arrival of the specialist, since he stated that at least 20 ghosts lives in Hayek's house, and some of them do not intend to leave. The medium noted that he spoke to the benevolent spirit of the nun who did not want to leave. The specialist said that the nun has been here longer than them and does not ask him to leave. The medium added that the nun has good vibes, so she stays. So there you go. Selma Hayek being haunted by spirits. And our final news story is here. COVID-19 survivor says he saw the late blessed Solanus Casey visit at the Sparrow Hospital. We go to Lansing, Michigan for this final story. COVID-19 survivor Nolan Ostrowski said, "The disease hit me like a baseball bat." Ostrowski was diagnosed with COVID-19 at the end of July. It was a very bad case. "I think that once it attacked me, I started getting really sick. I kind of lost a bit of reality and exactly what was going on," Ostrowski said. He spent 1 week at Sparrow Hospital before being airlifted to Lutheran Hospital in Indiana, where he stayed for 2 months. "I think that it really knocked me down so hard that there was nothing that would save me unless there was some kind of intervention," Ostrowski said. And he believes there was. At the beginning of his stay at Sparrow, Ostrowski said he had an unusual visitor in the middle of the night, an old guy with skinny legs and a brown robe. At first, Ostrowski, a parishioner at St. Peter Catholic Church in Eaton Rapids, thought it was his guardian angel. "I couldn't turn my head. I couldn't look over to see who it was, so I could only see his legs. He was at the head of my bed. Then the next night he came again, and this time he was 3 seats from the end of my bed. From the footboard. He was sitting there and he looked over at me and kind of took in the hospital bed and me in my physical condition," is what it looked like he had given me a once over, "and then sat straight forward and just kind of looked ahead," Ostrowski recalled. He now believes it was the blessed Solanus Casey, the late Detroit priest, because the second day Ostrowski was visited was July 30th, Casey's Catholic feast day. According to David Kerr, Diocese of Lansing Director of Communication, Casey was known for working miracles. Blessed Solanus Casey was originally from Wisconsin, but he's most notably remarked in terms of his clerical career as being a Franciscan friar and priest in Detroit, Kerr said. During his life, many miracles were ascribed to the intervention of Father Solanus Casey, and so, therefore, we shouldn't be too surprised that Blessed Solanus Casey continues to show favors from heaven upon those who continue to ask for his blessings and his intercession. Ostrowski said, "It was like he knew he had to be awake for what was going to happen, because I felt a lot of despair. This dark redness came over me. It came over the room," Ostrowski said. "So the first night I said, 'Jesus Christ, my Lord, my God, my Savior,' and it stopped. And then the second night I started to pray. I did that. I kind of realized that he was somebody special. It wasn't just my guardian angel. At first, the father of three felt scared. I started talking and I said, 'My kids, there's a lot of things I haven't done with my kids. I said, I've only taken my son driving one time,' Ostrowski said. But the man wouldn't look at him." Ostrowski began bargaining. "So I said, 'If you can get me out of this, if you can spare my life,' I said, 'I'll never use God's name in vain again,' Ostrowski said. He jumped up and ran around the side of my bed. I lifted my arm a little bit and he touched me underneath my armpit and then at the bottom of my rib cage on my left side. He could feel the man's touch and suddenly the despair slipped away. I felt like I was saved," Ostrowski said. Casey was declared blessed by the Catholic Church in 2017 at a grand ceremony in Detroit. He is one miracle away from being declared by the Vatican Saint Solanus Casey, Kerr said. Though the Vatican does not count Ostrowski's experience as an official miracle from Casey, Ostrowski definitely does. You know, you wonder, why was I saved? Why did he come see me? Ostrowski said. Regardless of what other people think of what I saw, what happened to me, they can doubt me all they want. In a statement to Fox 47 News, Karen Kent Van Gorder, MD, Sparrow's chief medical and quality officer, wrote, "We actively participate in spiritual healing for our patients and offer them many resources. We are delighted the patient made a full recovery. Sparrow, as an entity, and I, as CMO, would never discount spirituality and healing," she added. "I, as a doctor, have seen spiritual health play a factor in patients recovering or not recovering." So there you go. Pretty fascinating stories. Interesting tales from all around the world. I hope that you enjoyed today's program. And I hope that you will remember to come check out our Darkness Radio events, the Holzer Files Hell Frozen Over event, January 7th through the 9th. Myself, Shane Pittman, Bill Chappell, medium Jamie Houck, we're all going to be on hand. There are general admission tickets left. We've opened up 100 general admission tickets, which allow you to get in and see our talks. We have a meet and greet on Friday night, and you get a chance to hang out for a couple hours, meet and greet, talk with us. Then Saturday, we've got, starting at noon, a gallery session with Jamie Houck, 3 to 4 p.m. tech talk with Bill Chappell, 4:30 to 5:30 ghost hunting tips and tales with Dave and Shane. And then that night, 8 to 9, a paranormal panel with me, Shane, Bill Chappell, and Jamie Houck. And then that night, a ghost hunt. The ghost hunt segments are sold out, but the general admission talks and presentations and meet and greets are still available for just $99. Go check it out, darknessevents.com, or click on the link on today's program guide. We'll be back tomorrow as we delve into a very famous UFO encounter. A strange story that seems to have legs and continues to grow. We'll do that tomorrow right here on the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio.